This is 89.1 WEMU, and throughout March, we've been celebrating Women's History Month, and today we continue on Washtenaw United. Our focus has been not only women with contributions to our community in the past, but the women who are working today and writing a history for future generations to follow. I'm David Fair, and our guest today continues to work to end violence against women and provide a haven for those in need, to offer the support services necessary for survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. Barbara Neesmay is Executive Director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County. And Barbara, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you don't mind me asking, Barbara, what of your personal experience brought you to this line of work?
Oh, well, David, I'm really glad you asked that question because I think it's an important one for actually not just our community to hear, but particularly for survivors to hear. I got started in this work in 1993-94, and so I've been doing it as a lifelong career. But I can say that my first few years of doing this, I went through a lot of training and learned more about the dynamics and circumstances of sexual assault and domestic violence. And as a result of that training, I realized I had grown up in a home where there was domestic violence, and I also realized that I had been sexually assaulted on two different occasions. And the work, when I got into it, wasn't because of personal reasons. I believe it's because of those personal reasons and the lack of support and education and knowledge about these issues was why I stayed in it for, gosh, over 25 years now.
So as you were going through that educational process and becoming more self-aware about what you had been exposed to, were you aware of the lack of help and services available not only to you but to others in the community?
Yes. You know, what is unbelievable is the fact that it's not just the limited services that are available in some communities, it's the lack of awareness of circumstances of sexual assault and domestic violence. I mean, as an example, when I first started this work, you know, I could be in a room and it's quite possible there were people that wouldn't agree that domestic violence or sexual assault, issues of domestic violence or sexual assault were criminal matters. Now I can say I'm in a room and people do believe that they're criminal matters. But how does someone get educated on what exactly is domestic violence and sexual assault? You know, we see in the movies and in, you know, popular culture media how it plays out. But I think that there are many situations of domestic violence and sexual assault that people question, you know, if it was something that they provoked or that they invited. And the reality is that domestic violence is based on the power and control wheel, and any of those tactics are considered a grab for power and control. And the tactic of domestic violence and then sexual assault is any unwanted sexual advance and without consent. And then I think that people struggle with those very basic definitions because they're trying to rationalize it, and also the assailant never believes they've done anything wrong.
And that is a big problem in and of itself. As you were asking these questions, seeking out and finding the answers, were there some women that served as role models to you and perhaps mentors as you worked to become a part of the solution?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, almost too many to count. But, you know, I remember early on in my career, one woman that was an absolute standout for me is a woman named Janet Perkins. I grew up in Michigan, but I started my career in Arkansas, and she was at the time running the Women's Project and then was very closely associated with a group called the Women's Project. And the program I was with was separate, called Advocates for Battered Women, but she was so patient with me to try and teach me so many things. And I laud her not just because of all that she taught me about leadership and gender-based violence and, you know, how to integrate myself as both a survivor and in this role, in the role of supporting survivors, but also as a Black woman, I learned a lot about systemic racism and my job as a white woman to bring issues of oppression and racism to light. Because if we didn't have oppression at all, we wouldn't have racism, we wouldn't have violence against women, we wouldn't have ableism, sexism, you know, all these things. So she helped me to really integrate my identity, and that meant a lot. I mean, she's the one that really jumps out, but of course, there might be people listening saying, well, I thought I, there's so, like, I've had wonderful board members and, you know, male role models and female. And,
as they
know,
say,
and
it takes a village, right?
People. Yeah, I mean, I learned from you, David. I mean, I learned from everybody, I guess because I'm just a sponge. And so I have a lot of people. I mean, and also here at Safe House Center, you know, just extraordinary leaders, particularly among my directors. So, yeah, there's just a lot of people out there that have shared their wisdom and knowledge.
89.1 WEMU's Women's History Month edition of Washtenaw United continues. Our guest is Executive Director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County, Barbara Neese-May. Barbara, I don't have to tell you, 2020 and so far 2021 has been a time like no other in our lifetimes. There was so much fear that lockdowns and restricted movement would lead to an increase in domestic violence cases. Did that come to pass?
What happened was is that survivors were much less safe. I mean, you know, we think about how they're not safe just in regular daily life, but they found themselves having to be extra careful and to think more seriously about safety planning until they get what I would call an all clear a little bit. I mean, and we don't know even when that's coming because our case counts are going back up again. I would say that what happened was is that we did not see a surge as I kind of thought maybe in the first few months. We did over the summer, and it let up a smidge in the fall, and then over the winter, we have consistently seen high utilization of our helpline, support groups, video counseling, shelter, and our legal advocacy services. So definitely have not seen it abate.
There has been at least some progress in the state legislature to create more and better protections for women. What are you most happy about the actions taken by the Michigan State Legislature?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a real attention to the core issues of sexual assault and domestic violence and what it's going to take for survivors to have what they need to take the next steps that they feel like they need to take. So I can't continue with this interview without celebrating the fact that the House just passed the Violence Against Women Act, the reauthorization of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very big deal, and super optimistic about the Senate doing the same. So, and that's something that's been sitting out there for years. I think that we're seeing a turning of the tide where legislators, communities see what happened with the pandemic, see survivors, and want to do something about it.
Coming up in April, it is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and there is the Take Back the Night event, and then Safe House Center is going to sponsor a town hall to better educate the community. What are those going to do in terms of advancing policy and perspective and attitude?
Thank you for asking that. The Take Back the Night event is purely an awareness event to let people know about the circumstances of sexual assault and domestic violence in our communities. And I encourage people to look it up and learn more about it and participate. And that's on April 1st. And also at the end of April, we're still working on a final date, but you can watch our social media and our website for it. We're going to be hosting a town hall where we're talking about the rate of reporting for, in particular, sexual assault. While we all work hard as a system for survivors to feel comfortable reporting what has happened to them, whether it's to Safe House so that they can achieve some healing and support or to law enforcement in the perspective of justice, I'm pretty convinced that there are more survivors out there who haven't reached out. And I think it's important for us as a system to take a look at ourselves to see what we could be doing more of to help and support survivors or to reach survivors who have not reached out to us.
We are once again talking with Barbara Neese-May from Safe House Center on 89.1 WEMU. It's another Women's History Month edition of Washtenaw United. And Barbara, you began at Safe House Center in October of 2002. Since then, there have been significant changes in the way it's run and what is available. Among other things, you've redesigned the administrative infrastructure, you've instituted new services, and continue to lobby for changes in local policy and state law to better protect women and hold abusers accountable. What are you most proud of in your tenure thus far?
Wow, that's a big question. What I'm most proud of is the organization that we are today and the organizational culture that we've developed that is purely focused on serving survivors and survivors having what they need, and also for survivors and staff to be able to share how we can improve what we're doing on a daily basis. That is not something that happens overnight, and it's something that's built on trust. And I also think a measure of longevity. One thing that I'm proud of is the tenure of the people who come to work. I mean, what we do isn't easy, and there's a lot of trauma involved.
Immersed in pain.
Yes, and we have people who have worked here 20-plus years, and that is absolutely extraordinary. I don't even know how to explain it. And you know, then we also have a large number of people who have been here 10-plus years. And we also have the new energy that comes in with people who come and work with us for 2 or 3 years, and they go and they carry what we've done with them to their next step, whether it's going back to school or a more responsible position in another agency. I mean, I'm just proud of the leaders that we develop every day and who comes to work for us, and whether they stay or carry our mission somewhere else, I couldn't be happier with that. So I think the thing I'm most proud of is the organization that we've developed that is truly committed and focused on survivors. And we recently had a quality assurance visit with the Division of Victim Services, the state agency, and we did very well. We were pretty blown away with how many accolades we got with our quality assurance visit. So I know it in my heart that we're doing great work, and to be recognized by a peer review group of our great work is pretty exceptional too.
The ultimate goal is obviously to end violence against women. Is that at all feasible?
Oh, gosh, David. You know, when I was in my 20s, I really thought that was going to happen. And, you know, and now that I'm, you know, realizing that, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'll be at Safe House until I retire, but I don't think we'll be able to end violence against women. But we keep shifting, and I've got to keep looking at that. Like I talked about earlier, there were groups of people I would present to in the 90s that didn't believe that sexual assault or domestic violence should be criminal matters. And now I can be in a room of people and they believe they're criminal matters. Now, how they play out and manifest, there are differing opinions, and that's what we still need to work on. But I think the real success is that we have places like Safe House in almost every corner of the country, that we are a society that's starting to talk about and recognize these issues much more readily and willing to support. And I think our numbers are going to need to go up before they legitimately start to go down.
Barbara, you've now spent more than 19 years at Safe House, and as you mentioned, you plan to stay until such time you retire. At some point, you will turn over leadership to someone else. When that day comes, how would you like us to write your history?
Oh, but I did everything to prepare Safe House for the future.
Barbara, thank you so much for the work you do, and thank you for sharing some of your day with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, David. You're always wonderful to speak with.
That is Barbara Neese May, Executive Director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County, and our guest on another Women's History Month edition of Washtenaw United. For more information on today's show and to access all the other Women's History Month features, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, reminding you Washtenaw United is produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County, and you hear it every Monday on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.